الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Welcome in our program, Summary of Tafsir al-Quran. In Ruku number 3, 4, 5, from third para, Allah Azza wa Jalla has described the excellences of giving charity, spending in the path of Allah, and particularly in fifth Ruku, Allah Azza wa Jalla has described the manners of giving charity. So again, after mentioning the reward and excellence of charity, the next manner of giving charity Allah Azza wa Jalla has mentioned. So he has said, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, إِن تُبْدُوا الصَّدَقَاتِ فَنِعِمَّا هِيَ وَإِن تُخْفُوهَا وَتُؤْتُوهَا الْفُقَرَاءَ فَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ وَيُكَفِّرُ عَنْكُمْ مِنْ سَيِّئَاتِكُمْ وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ خَبِيرٌ. If you give charity openly, it is an excellent deed. And if you give it secretly to the poor, it is best for you. And in this way, some of your sins will reduce. And Allah is aware of your deeds. The excellence of giving charity, that Allah will remove some of your sins. Allah will forgive your sins. And then the kinds of charity. Someone gives charity secretly to the poor, and some people give charity openly, publicly, in front of other people. Both are rewarding. Both earns reward. But giving charity publicly depends upon intention. Because if someone gives privately to a poor person, there is very less chances to show off. So in this way it is better. And if someone gives openly, publicly, in front of other people, so might be, he develops bad intention to show off, to be seen. But both are rewardable, both earn reward. Allah Azza wa Jal mentions the excellence of both. About both Allah Azza wa Jal described, if you give charity openly, it is an excellent deed. For ni'imahi, it is an excellent deed. There is no sin in that. It's upon you. But be careful regarding your intention. Be careful regarding the intention of showing off. Because in open charity, this bad intention could come. But it depends upon intention, as I have said. Because sometimes someone gives charity in front of other people and he has good intentions. For example, if a great scholar, a grand scholar, a great sheikh, if he gives charity in front of his followers will follow him in this regard, in this charity. So in this way, he is the leader in this good act, in this good deed, in this virtue. So now he will earn the reward of his followers as well. So for this person, it might be better than giving in privacy. So both are alike, but particularly for common people who have difficulty in maintaining their good intention, so for them it is better to give charity in privacy. Then Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions again that whatever you do, its benefit is for you. That's not beneficial madala for Allah Azza wa Jal. The benefit of your charity, the benefit of your good deeds will return to you. وَمَا تُنْفِقُوا مِنْ خَيْرٍ فَلِأَنفُسِكُمْ. Whatever good you do, you spend for the anfusikum, that's for your own selves. Then again Allah Azza wa Jal reminded us of making good intentions. The intention must be good, that must be pure, that must be for getting the pleasure of Allah. وَمَا تُنْفِقُونَ إِلَّا بَتِغَاءَ وَجْهِ اللَّهِ. And whatever you spend will be repaid to you in full, and spend to seek the pleasure of Allah. Now one another very important thing had been described in next ayah, because there are some people who need our attention, because there are some people who seek us for help, who approach us for help, who informs us about their problems and troubles, about their poverty and needs. So because we come to know about their problems and poverty and needs, so we help them, we support them, we give them some wealth. But there are some people around us who might be, because of their status in society, because they have status among the people, they are unable to tell us about their condition, how they are spending their life. They might be poorer than the beggars. They might be in troubles. They might be in the need of their basic necessities. They are unable to meet their needs and necessities. But because of their status and because of their thinking, they are unable to ask us and beg us for charity. So Allah Azza wa Jal has informed us and commanded us to be very careful regarding those people as well. So Allah Azza wa Jal had mentioned in this ayah, لِلْفُقَرَاءِ الَّذِينَ أُحْصِرُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ لَا يَسْتَطِيعُونَ ضَرْبًا فِي الْأَرْضِ يَحْسَبُهُمُ الْجَاهِلُ أَغْنِيَاءَ مِنَ التَّعَفُّفِ تَعْرِفُهُمْ بِسِيمَاهُمْ لَا يَسْأَلُونَ النَّاسَ إِلْحَافًا وَمَا تُنْفِقُوا مِنْ خَيْرٍ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ بِهِ عَلِيمٌ. Spend on the poor who are restrained in the way of Allah, who cannot travel in the land for earning. The ignorant would think that they are wealthy because of their abstaining from begging. You will recognize them by their faces. They do not beg of people in a persistently self-humiliating manner. And Allah is aware of whatever you spend in charity. So Allah has told us, as particularly about Muhajireen and about Sahaba-i-Kiram, who were among other Sahaba-i-Kiram, and because they have status and they have self-respect and self-esteem, so because of that, it was difficult for them to beg from other people. And they are restrained. Uhsiru fi sabilillah. They are restrained. Why? Because of the service of deen. They are unable to earn. They are unable to earn their livelihood. Why? Because they are busy. They are engaged in spreading the deen, preaching Islam. They are busy in that. So that's why they can't earn, they can't do any job, they can't earn any business. Now, يَحْسَبُهُمُ الْجَاهِلُ أَغْنِيَاءَ مِنَ التَّعَفُّفِ. But the ignorant people who don't know their conditions, they consider them as wealthy. أَغْنِيَاء, they consider them as wealthy. Why? مِنَ التَّعَفُّفِ. Because those people never ask for help. They never follow any person and chase any person to get something from him. So because of their dishabit and because of their self-esteem, they never begged for other people. But now the charity giving people consider them as wealthy people. So Allah Azza wa Jal is commanding us to think about those people as well. As even nowadays, the scholars whose self-esteem is very high, it is very difficult for them to ask for help. But we know, and many people know, what their condition is. They are in poverty, they are in the lack of money, they are unable to visit a doctor. They are unable to buy their basic medicines. They are unable to buy the clothes, the dresses on the E-day. They are in that condition, but they never beg for help to the people. So we must be very careful regarding those people. It is our responsibility. It is our responsibility to keep them prosperous, to make them prosperous, and to keep them prosperous, so that they can do their work attentively, with the consideration and concentration of their minds. If all the time they are thinking about their home groceries and their home needs, so how can they work for religion? How can they spend their time for the cause of Allah? So that is the responsibility of believers to do something for them. Now in the next ayah, again in the ruku number 6, first Allah Azza wa Jalla has described the excellence of spending privately and publicly. In both way, whatsoever is spent, that is reward earning in the court of Allah. So Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned, الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ سِرًّا وَعَلَانِيَةً فَلَهُمْ أَجْرُهُمْ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ وَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. Those who spend their wealth in the way of Allah by night and day, secretly and openly, their reward is with their Lord, and they shall have no fear, nor shall they grieve. Means, whatever opportunity they find, they spend. If at daytime they think that someone is in need, so they give at daytime. If they are called at night, they spend at that time. If someone asks them in publicly, they give him on the spot. And if someone is asked for help privately, so they give in privacy. So whatever opportunity and whatever time they find, they spend in the path of Allah. So for these people, there is reward with the Lord. Now after describing the matter of charity, now Allah Azza wa Jal described the matter of usury, interest, which is haram in Islam, which is strictly haram. It's a major sin. So Allah Azza wa Jal warned those people who give their wealth on interest, on usury. In previous ayat, Allah Azza wa Jalla had described those people who give their wealth for the reward from Allah Azza wa Jalla. Now those people who give their wealth to others for worldly wealth, but in the form of usury and interest, and that is haram. Because usury and interest is a sin which develops negative quality, stinginess. Stinginess, bukhl. Why? How? Because when someone knows that he can earn something on giving debt, so why does he have someone? Why does he support other people without any debt? So now that habit develops with the passage of time, and it reaches till that extent that even a father doesn't give his wealth to his son without interest, and son doesn't give his wealth to his father without any return, without usury, without interest. As I think, our Islam brothers, the people who are listening to me, they know better than me that this habit and stinginess have been developed among people. And now in many countries where usury and interest is very common, so they have reached that extent. Now the father doesn't give his wealth to his son without interest. If he has, and if he is in the need of wealth, so he can take that wealth from his son on interest. So now relationship has gone. So Allah Azza wa Jalla has described the punishment of consuming eating usury. He stated, الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ الرِّبَا لا يقومون إلا كما يقوم الذي يتخبطه الشيطان من المس. ذلك بأنهم قالوا إنما البيع مثل الربا till the end of the ayah. Those who consume usury interest will not stand up on the day of judgment except like the one who is possessed by an evil spirit, devil, making him insane. That is because they said trade is also like usury, and that is not the case. Trade is not like usury, and usury is not like trade, because أَحَلَّ الْبَيْعَ وَحَرَّمَ الرِّبَى. Allah has made trading lawful and has made usury unlawful. Allah has made trading lawful and has made usury unlawful. Allah has made usury haram. Allah has made that unlawful. Allah has forbidden from usury and interest. So that is the open commandment of Allah. In open words, Allah has described this commandment. And then in again and again, Allah has reminded the forbidding of this sin. فَمَنْ جَاءَهُ مَوْعِذَةٌ مِّنْ رَبِّهِ فَانْتَحَى فَلَهُ مَا صَلَفُ. Now Allah is describing that for the one on whom guidance has come from his Lord and he refrained from it, what he has taken in the past is lawful. Then whosoever receives this guidance from Allah Azza wa Jal regarding usury and interest, he must abstain from that. He must leave that totally. He must totally remove that from his life. Never come close to that when the guidance from Allah Azza wa Jal has come to him. As really, that should be the character of believers. That should be the character of a Muslim. When he comes to know that usury and interest is haram and strictly forbidden in Islam, and Allah has made that haram, وَحَرَّمَ الرِّبَى, Allah has forbidden from that, Allah has made that haram, Allah has made that unlawful. So then, what should be the character, what should be the deed and conduct of a Muslim and believer? He must abstain from that. وَمَنْ عَادَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ. But those people who doesn't care, who don't leave taking usury and interest, so then what is their abode? Allah said, فَأُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ. They are the people of hell. هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. They will remain in it, in hell, for a long period. And if they considered usury halal, so then they will remain in it forever. Because whosoever considers usury to be halal, he is not Muslim. He is out of the fold of Islam. So that is the evil of usury in Islam. And that is the commandment of Islam regarding usury. If you are a believer, so how can you do that? Your Lord is commanding regarding that. Your Lord is forbidding you from taking usury, giving usury, taking interest. But even then, the people are committing. How strange. And how means unimaginable for a true believer. The people, after listening to the commandments of Allah, they are still committing the same sin. What is that? Allah Azza wa Jal said, يَمْحَقُ اللَّهُ الرِّبَى وَيُرْبِي الصَّدَقَاتِ. Allah destroys usury and gives growth to charities. Who survives on usury, so Allah destroys usury. And who gives his wealth in charity, so Allah grows that charity. Allah grows that charity. And then those people who abstain from that, because that is a very essential part of piety, to abstain from sins. So abstaining from usury is the main part of piety. So Allah Azza wa Jal mentions their reward, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَوُوا الزَّكَاةَ لَهُمْ أَجْرُهُمْ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ وَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا يَحْزَنُونَ. They have reward with their Lord. There won't be any fear for them. And they won't be grieved. For those people, وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. And this is one of amale salih, good deeds, to abstain from usury and interest. Then again in the next ayah, Allah Azza wa Jal has commanded us regarding the same matter, Ya أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَذَرُوا مَا بَقِيَ مِنَ الرِّبَىٰ إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. O believers, fear Allah and forego the remaining usury if you are believers. If you are believers, leave usury, abstain from usury, refrain from that. So how open words could be said other than these? As Allah has commanded us, ittaqullah, fear Allah, wadaru ma baqiya min al-riba, and forego the remaining usury. What you have to receive in future, forego that. Forego that in kuntum mu'minin, if you are believers. If you are believers, so that is the demand of your belief to refrain from the sin. So we must think about this sin. If someone commits that, and then Allah Azza wa Jal announce the war against those people who commit this sin of usury and interest. So Allah Azza wa Jal said, فَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا فَأَذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. And if you do not act upon this, then be certain of a war with Allah and His Messenger. Look and think and ponder upon that. Means how harming and how horrifying warning is this, that be certain of war with Allah and His Messenger if you do not act upon the commandment of Allah regarding shirk. So we can make the people understand, we can convey the message of Allah to you. Now it's upon the people, it's upon you, whether you act upon or you do not act upon as Allah Azza wa Jal has described in this place. Then one another thing, because usually interest belongs to debt. Someone gives debt to someone and then earns upon that. So there is one another matter. Because in the days of ignorance, in the days of Jahiliyyat, what was the routine of people when they gave debt to someone? If that person is unable to pay back at the time, so then this person increases the usury. With the passage of time, it increases. And sometimes what happens, if the original debt is only a few rupees, a small amount, but with the passage of time, along with that usury, it became like a mountain. So Allah Azza wa Jal commanded that if a person who has received debt from you, who has borrowed money from you, so if he is in difficulty and he is unable to pay you back, so then give him respite. Give him respite. And even if he is at ease, even then give him respite. And if he is in difficulty, if he is in difficulty and he is unable to pay you back, so then forgive him. It would be better for you. So Allah Azza wa Jalla has next right, وَإِن كَانَ ذُو عُسْرَةٍ فَنَوِرَةٌ إِلَى مَيْسَرَةٌ وَأَن تَصَدَّقُوا خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. And if the debtor is constrained, give him respite until it becomes easy to pay back. And if you forego the entire debt, it is better for you if you know. If he is constrained, so then give him respite. And if he is unable to pay you back, so then forgive him, it would be better for you. So now, after this commandment regarding usury, so now Allah Azza wa Jal informed us about the day of judgment. وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ ثُمَّ تُوَفَّى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَا كَسَبَتْ وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ. And fear the day in which you shall return to Allah, and every soul will be compensated in full what it had earned, and they will not be wronged. They will not be wronged. So the fear of the day of judgment is the main factor of abstaining from sins and refraining from and committing from sins and earning and doing good deeds. That's the main factor from doing these things. Now in the seventh ruku, Allah Azza wa Jal has taught us many commandments regarding our contracts and our agreements when we give something to someone or we take something from someone. So there are some manners. It should be written. It should be written. It should be kept. So that means after a time there shouldn't be any dispute. There shouldn't be any difference. So there are many commandments. I mean the whole ruku and the lengthiest ayah of the Holy Quran is about the same matter. Then in the last ruku of Surah Al-Baqarah and the 8th ruku from 3rd para, in this ruku Allah Azza wa Jalla has described His exaltedness, His attributes, and taught us how to supplicate in the court of Allah. So in the beginning, first Allah Azza wa Jalla has described His exaltedness. لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَإِنْ تُبْدُوا مَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَوْ تُخْفُوهُ يُحَاسِبُكُمْ بِهِ اللَّهِ. To Allah only belongs all whatever is in the heavens and all whatever is in the earth. Whatever is in the earth and heavens, Allah is the owner. All are in the ownership of Allah. And then the next part of the ayah, if you disclose whatever is in your hearts or conceal it, Allah will take account of it from you. Whatever we think in our heart, so we would be accountable for that. So when this ayah was revealed, Sahaba Ikram got very much worried about that and they requested to the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, it is very difficult for us that if we are to take into account on those things which you think in our heart, it would be very difficult. So then Allah Azza wa Jal revealed the next and then told them, فَيَغْفِرُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيُعَذِّبُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ and la yukallifu Allahu nafsan illa wus'aha. And now the sharia commandment is this, that if someone makes firm intention to commit a sin, then he will be sinner. If he has only some kind of whispers from shaitan, waswasa, so then he is not sinner. If any thought of committing sin comes in the mind of a person and he doesn't have any firm intention to commit that, so then he is not sinner. But if a person makes plan and he thinks in his mind that I will commit that act at any cost, whatever happens, whatever means happens, I would commit that sin, so then he would be sinner. As if a person makes a plan to commit adultery and now he is thinking about that and he has made plan on that, but because of any reason, because of any hindrance, he couldn't commit that. But he would be sinner because he has made plan and he has made firm intention, which is called azm. So when the intention reaches the state of azm, so then the person is sinner. The determination, the strong intention. So when someone makes strong intention, firm intention, he determined to commit a sin, so then he would be sinner. Otherwise, if that is only waswasa or that is only hajis, the thought comes in our mind, so then it disappears, appears and disappears, comes and goes. If that is the condition, so then the person wouldn't be sinner. So this is the commandment of Sharia. Now the next part of the ayah, very basic belief of Islam has been mentioned. What is that? Kullun amana billahi wa malaikatihi wa kutubihi wa rusuli. The essentials of Islam, which are called zaruriyat-e-deen, mean the things in which having belief is essential. What are those? Believing in Allah, in angel, in the books of Allah, which he revealed, wa rusulihi, and the prophets, all the prophets which he sent. So believing in all these is essential. Then Allah has mentioned, لَا نُفَرِّقُ بَيْنَ أَحَدٍ مِّن رُسُولِهِ. On the tongue of believers, we would say, لَا نُفَرِّقُ بَيْنَ أَحَدٍ مِّن رُسُولِهِ. We won't differentiate among the prophets. What does that mean? I have mentioned in the beginning of this para that in having belief in all the prophets, we don't differentiate. We believe in all the prophets. But as far as the matter of their excellence is concerned, so there is a difference. As Allah mentioned, تِلْكَ الرُّسُلُ فَضَّلْنَا بَعْضَهُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ. Allah has exalted one on others. Allah has given excellence one on others. So the matter of excellence is something else, and believing in all is something else. So we believe in all the prophets. لَا نُفَرِّقُ بَيْنَ أَحَدٍ مِّن رُسُلِ. We don't differentiate among the prophets. We believe in all. Then what should be our behavior after listening to the commandments of Allah? سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. We have listened and we obeyed. We adopted obedience. We obey the commandments of Allah. We have listened and we believed and we obey. That is the conduct of believers. Now then, in the last part of the ruku, Allah Azza wa Jal has told us and taught us how to supplicate in His court. The beautiful supplications, invocations and prayers have been described in the end of Surah Al-Baqarah. رَبَّنَا لَا تُؤَاخِذْنَا إِن نَسِيْنَا أَوْ أَخْطَأْنَا رَبَّنَا وَلَا تَحْمِلْ عَلَيْنَا إِسْرًا كَمَا حَمَلْتَهُ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِنَا رَبَّنَا وَلَا تُحَمِّلْنَا مَا لَا طَاقَةَ لَنَا بِهِ وَاعْفُ عَنَّا وَاغْفِرْ لَنَا وَارْحَمْنَا أَنْتَ مَوْلَانَا فَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ. O our Lord, do not seize us if we forget or have made a mistake. O our Lord, and do not place a heavy burden upon us as you placed on those before us. O our Lord, do not place on us a burden for which we do not have the strength to bear, and pardon us and forgive us and have mercy on us. You are our master, so help us against the disbelievers. This is a very beautiful supplication. We should memorize these supplications and supplicate in the court of Allah again and again, because this is a supplication which Allah Azza wa Jalla has taught us. Which Allah Azza wa Jalla has taught us. The words are very beautiful, the meanings are very beautiful, and the prayer is a big prayer and very important and rewardable. Pray in the court of Allah. May Allah accept and answer our prayers, and may Allah give us tawfiq to act upon the commandments of Quran. Ameen. Bijahin Nabiyil Ameen. صلى الله عليه وسلم.